On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning came on your smile.
Tuesday.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I guess it's Tuesday.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It's Tuesday already, can you believe that? Seems like yesterday was just Monday. Seems like last week there was a Tuesday then. Come on, this is a lot of Tuesdays. I think there's even a restaurant chain called Tuesdays. Come on, enough with the Tuesday thing. Wasn't that one of the characters on the Addams Family? What was that? That was Wednesday? I'm confused. I'm suing my dentist for harassment. Yep. Every time I go to the dentist, he says to me, did you floss? Are you flossing? You got to take care of your teeth. Are you flossing? That's harassment. That's harassment. My dentist and his little oral hygienist friend, for some reason, it's a fetish, I think, they like to put their fingers in my mouth. Where did that come from? What kind of upbringing did you have? Get your fingers out of my mouth. If anybody's going to put their fingers in their mouth, it's going to be me. Stop harassing me. Here's the funny part of all this. They put their fingers in my mouth, and then they have the nerve to charge me for that. They send me a bill in the mail charging me so that they can put their fingers in my mouth. It just doesn't make sense. Now let's talk about my proctologist. Just a warning before we go any further, this show is not designed for young children, unless they're so young they can't understand what I'm saying, but that tender little age group where they can understand what I'm saying, maybe not the greatest idea. I mean, you can expose your kids to this if you want to, but I'm not saying that's a great idea. And if something happens as a result, don't blame me. Because I think kids should go to the dentist. For all the pain that they cause you, a little pain in their mouth would be, I'd say, instructive. You know what I mean? Retribution? What do you call that? Welcome to the program. How are you? Good to be with you. I am just a little bit confused about something. If you can help me out, please. Here's the problem. Refresh my memory if I am incorrect. Was it not just a week ago that we had New Year's Eve and New Year's and Christmas where the kids had about 10 days off of school? You know, they didn't have to go to school for 10 days. And then they were sent back to school Not the day after New Year's Day, 2 days after New Year's Day, because they get an extra Monday because, ooh, I don't even know why. Monday was nothing. That was New Year's Day observed. What, Sunday was New Year's Day not observed? Is this New Year's Day? I can't observe it. I don't see it anywhere. Well, we'll make Monday New Year's Eve then. Okay, fine, New Year's Day. They were off for the whole damn thing. Not a week and a half later, apparently. A week later. Is it a week later? I don't even know what day this is. 2 weeks later. On Monday, it's Martin Luther King Day. Well worth the holiday. He was incredible. But it's another school holiday. And now it's a three-day weekend. What the hell is going on with these kids? I'm not down in the Martin Luther King Day. It could be any holiday at all. You can't have another holiday so close to another holiday and give kids. When do kids go to school anymore? There's a college university near where I live. And that damn place is never open. Kids are never going to class because they get spring break, they get fall break, they get systematic break, they get mental breaks, they get the holiday breaks. What the hell? They're always in Fort Lauderdale. What's going on with these educational systems? Send the damn kids to school. And the reason I say that is indeed retribution. Because when I went to school, oh God, Ron, here we go again. You're going to talk about when I was in school kind of thing? Well, yes, I am. When I was a kid and I went to school, they didn't have holidays. There weren't any. We went to school on Christmas. That's a lie. We didn't. I'm just making a point. We didn't have school during the summer. Other than that, we went. Yeah, New Year's, Christmas, Thanksgiving. And Easter. Easter was on a Sunday. Didn't hurt anybody. And that was it, man. That was it. Now we've got all kinds of holidays, and they're fine observances. But do kids, like, have to stay out of school for them? Come on, man. I don't understand it. Kids are not in school enough. And, you know, I do make the argument that curriculum is so messed up that it doesn't really matter if they're out for another 3 or 4 days. It's not like they're going to miss an incredible amount of information. No, it's not that. It's just kids belong in freaking school. Because if I had to sit there and listen to somebody babble at the front of the classroom, so do they. If I had to go through it, damn it, you are. And I'll tell you something, the person that I am today, the strength and fortitude of my personality, like I have that, is based upon being stuck in a classroom. I learned what frustration and torture actually are. Did I pick up any information from sitting in the classroom? To be honest with you, I don't remember. I don't remember anything that happened in the class. I don't remember anything. I know there was a teacher. I know there were students. I know I was stuck in that room for about 6 hours a day or in that building. That's all I remember. I don't remember. I know 2 and 2 is 4. I don't know if I learned that in school or whether somebody just told me. One of my friends, we were playing stickball. And my friend said, Ron, did you know 2 and 2 is 4? I did not know that. Thank you very much. That stuck with me. Whatever the teacher said in the classroom, I have no idea. Here's what it sounded like to me, the teacher in the classroom. That's all. That's all I heard. I did learn how to tell time by going to school. That I learned in school. Because as I sat there for 6 hours, all I did was stare at the clock and watch that second hand. And I used to just like stare at it and come up with mathematical equations to figure out how much longer I had to sit there. I was very familiar with clocks. We didn't have digital clocks when I went to school. They weren't invented yet, I don't think. I think they invented the automobile, but I can't remember. And I think the steam engine was invented by then, but I don't recall it. No, there were no digital clocks that I recall. I mean, I guess there were. I guess there were. But we didn't have any on the wall. We had that analog clock, you know, with the hands. Remember that? Anyway, Lord. I've said this before on the show, and I'm going to be honest with you. The school systems in this country are not really set up for educational purposes. They're babysitting. And, you know, well, they should be, because we pay a lot in taxes to support the school systems and education. The least they can do is babysit the damn kids so that we can go out and get a job and pay for them. And I'm not saying that the school system is the best babysitting system. That's hard to say. The best babysitting system. It's not the best. It's the only one we got. Sounds cynical, doesn't it? College. Further education? No. Further spending money by your parents. That's what that is. Or further spending money by you, taking out student loans for the rest of your life. You can be lying on your deathbed.
I can't believe it. I'm going to be paying off my final student loan payment today.
You know, that just doesn't make sense. It shouldn't be like that. Education should be free all the way. It really should. In any event, it's not. So college... Further education? No. Introduction into Babylon, into the degradation of social life? Yes, that's what college is. That's where you have the sex going on because the parents aren't there to stop you. That's where you're doing your drinking, getting high, being forced to try drugs because you want to fit into something. Going places you shouldn't be, stealing goats as mascots, and putting them in the boiler room with that's all beer. College is beer. College equals beer. Beer equals college. That's where you learn everything. It's where you test the waters. Now there are some good kids. Where do you go if you have good kids? To make them bad? College. I was never more nervous about my kids than I was when I had to send them to college, or they went to college, I should say, because I didn't know what they were doing. I had no idea. And it's like sending your kids to a place where they have cults, where they wear strange costumes and worship the devil. I don't know what the hell goes on in college. Now, I went to college, but I didn't go to a real college. I went to New York University, thanks for asking, in Greenwich Village. What a fine institution that is. But here's the thing. I didn't live there. I went there like it was an office job. I had a place to live in the city in Manhattan. And I had an apartment and all that kind of thing. And I went to school, like, you know, when there was a class, I would take the subway and I would go to the class and then I'd go home. So I wasn't influenced by people my age. I was influenced by New York society, which was far more influential and wonderful. So I didn't go through that college thing where you sat in a dorm room all day and watched other people play with themselves. I did not do that. I don't know. Social stuff is weird, isn't it? Aren't people strange? Have you noticed how people are strange? They do strange stuff. And the only people that we ever hear about are the people that do strange stuff. Because the people that supposedly don't do strange stuff are not in the news, so we don't hear about them. We don't know what they're doing because they don't talk about the strange stuff that they do behind closed doors, so we have no idea. But one thing I do know, everybody's strange in some aspect. Even you. Yeah, I know. You think you're anonymous because you're listening to this show and I can't see you? You're strange too, in your own way. There was a news story this morning on television. I checked the news in the morning just to make sure I'm still on this planet, and I am. And it was about a woman in Cohasset, Massachusetts, who went missing since New Year's Day. And the husband didn't report until 3-4 days later, which is, you know, normal because you don't realize that stuff. When your wife's missing, it's like, I don't know, I think she's in the bathroom. I don't know. 3 days later, you start getting concerned. And apparently, this guy may have murdered his wife. They actually arrested this guy, but not for murder, just for the fact that he gave some false information to police. That's how they arrest you, you know, before they really start nabbing you. They found a bloody knife in the house. They can't find her anywhere. They're searching all over the place. They found a bloody knife and all kinds of, like, very circumstantial, wonderful evidence. But this story I know about, you see, this is something that I've been told about. So I am getting firsthand information on the strangest, weirdest, most fucked up people. These are the people that I'm being told about. I'm watching Harry there, the Prince Harry. I don't know if he's a prince anymore or, you know, he's doing the misery tour because he wrote a book, memoirs. We talked about this yesterday. I don't know much about anything, but what I do know is Prince Harry had a tough life and wants everybody to know about it. Doesn't get along with his father and brother. I don't know why I have to know this. Because somehow in the human race here, we find this stuff fascinating. I've met a lot of people who somehow in conversation, it comes up that they love crime dramas. They love murder mysteries. Why? Why are you so fascinated by people that kill other people? I don't, this is a strange society that we live in. But it's always been strange. The Christians and the Lions, and those weren't football teams. They were spectator sports. Bullfighting. I mean, we still have war. There's one going on right now in the Ukraine-Russia theater. It's awful. It's embarrassing. It's like, how can this be happening in this day and age? How can the human race not have evolved beyond people killing each other for territory and for power? There's presidents of countries that don't give a shit about the country. They just want the power. Have we evolved? No. You know that little chart there, that illustrated chart where you see the evolution of man and woman too. I'm just talking about man right now. And they show, you know, the being starting to walk upright and then all of a sudden being a very sophisticated upright. Now we're on the other side of the chart where we're starting to slump over again. We're starting to become slouchy, and we're starting to go back to our primitive barbarian days. That's the evolution of man and woman, too. I don't know, man, you know. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, my guest will be joining us. Sorry to bring you down. I'm just pointing things out. That's all I'm doing. This, by the way, is Tuesday, and a lot of people have been complaining, as you probably know.
If you have listened to more than 10 episodes of The Ron Van Dam Show in a row, you may be entitled to hazard pay. Fill out 2 copies of Form 63-B and bring them to Estelle in Human Resources. Don't forget, Estelle is off on Tuesdays. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks for the processing of your hazard pay claim. And thank you for listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Dr. Michael Coupain joins us now. And we've got what to eat when. Those are some questions that I've been asking since I was born, pretty much. That's a difficult one. You understand, I understand, you love to cook. You're like a chef.
Well, cooking is one of my passions, yeah. So I'm a physician, but I've always loved to cook in medical school before I used to, you know, work in some restaurants for fun.
If cooking is your passion, you are a chef. That's the way I look at it. All right. Yeah, it's the new year and all that stuff and the resolutions and all that, but that makes no difference to me. Every day is a kind of an internal struggle for many people, especially those over a certain age where you just gain weight every year just for the hell of it, and you can do absolutely nothing differently and you're still going to gain. So we're all concerned about that, and then we're concerned about our health. We're living longer, and we want to make sure that those years are healthy ones and not painful ones. So we're always looking for a plan of action on how to eat well, what choices to make.
Yeah, so we wrote this book to help people, like everyone who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And we most people focus on what they eat, but we thought it was important to start thinking about when we eat.
Interesting.
So not just what, but also the when. And it all has to do with our circadian rhythm, mm-hmm. and that's sort of our body's internal clock. And the job of this, your circadian rhythm, is to get your body to do the right thing at the right time. Then we actually have to do that. But what our body does is it expects us to do certain things at certain times. So we all kind of know our circadian rhythm is important for sleep. You know, like if we travel to another time zone, we get jet lagged because we're throwing off our body's clock. Well, it turns out our circadian rhythm regulates just about everything, mm-hmm. and including our metabolism. So our metabolism actually changes throughout the day. So it actually expects us to eat early in the day. So when the sun is shining, our circadian rhythm is set by the sun.
Right.
And if you think back to, you know, ancient times, we had the sun and we didn't have electricity or anything, so we kind of had to live by it.
Right.
So we evolved that way so that our body expects us to eat more early and less later. So that's sort of the big picture. What we recommend is you eat with the sun,
yes.
and you make breakfast and lunch your largest meals and dinner your smallest. So we say, basically Americans have to flip their day upside down because most of us eat most of our calories at night.
True. That's very true. And is that because we have no chance to burn them? In other words, if you eat and then you shortly after go to sleep, then there's not that much burning going on? Is that the theory?
Well, you're still burning calories at night. You're burning a little bit less. You know, there's a recent study that showed that people are basic metabolic rates, so what are sort of without any activity, how many calories we burn. It's about 10% less at night. So it's different, but it's not it's not like it disappears at night.
All right.
But throughout the day, our metabolism does change. So there's an amazing study that was done here in the U.S. where they had people on a diet, and they had them on a low-calorie diet.
Yes.
It was about 1,400 calories.
Yes.
So, and they divided people into two groups. So both groups got lunch of 500 calories, but the one group got a 700-calorie breakfast and a 200-calorie dinner,
yes.
and the other group got the opposite, a 200-calorie breakfast and a 700-calorie dinner.
Okay.
And they found, even though both groups ate the exact same calories, but they ate them at different times,
yes.
the group that ate the big breakfast lost a lot more weight than the group that ate the big dinner. So that's because, again, our metabolism is changing. And in the morning, it's more interested in burning carbohydrates. And at night, it's more interested in burning fat. And because fat is sort of the storage form, like a long-term storage form of energy. And so since we're supposed to be not eating at night, that's what you would want to burn. You'd want to burn that fat.
Right.
But when you start eating at night, you kind of throw a wrench in this whole system,
okay.
and you eat storing fat instead of burning it.
All right. But what about our hunger here? Because sometimes I'm not hungry at all, and I figure, well, I won't eat if I'm not hungry, but I'm not eating when I'm supposed to eat because I'm not burning anything. But then when I do eat, I eat voraciously, and then it's like my body's saying, I can't burn all this stuff.
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's what I was really concerned when we started got really into the research of this and seeing that this is the way people should eat. Mike Royce, my co-author, and I were both concerned about this. We thought, well, people are going to be hungry. And yes. I personally have always, until now, I spent my life eating dinner as my biggest meal. In fact, I started off training to be a neurosurgeon, and that lifestyle and training led me to kind of eat all my meals at night. So I only ate once a day, really, because I didn't have time to eat the rest of the day.
Good for you.
So I would come home and I'd be starving and I would eat a lot.
Yeah.
And I was never that hungry in the morning.
Right.
And that worked for me for a long time. But like you said, like most people, I was starting to gain a little weight.
Yeah.
And then I tried this. I switched my day. I flipped it upside down. Now I eat breakfast and lunch, and I either don't eat dinner or it's a very small meal because my appetite actually changed. And,
really?
And the literature actually suggests this is what happens. When you start eating your larger meals early, you aren't as hungry at night. So it's one of the most surprising things, I think, for people, is this actually changes your appetite.
What about water? I'm always told to drink 25 gallons of water and to spend all day peeing, which is pretty much what happens, that it cuts down on my appetite if I drink water. But then now I'm finding I'm peeing all the time and I'm bloated. So I don't understand.
Well, 25 gallons might be a little much.
Well, all right. I think I was exaggerating.
But, I mean, water is important. You know, it's important that we stay hydrated. And sometimes we do, if we're not drinking enough, we do, it sort of does affect our hunger. So that's actually one of the things that I actually personally do. If I'm starting to feel a little bit hungry, sometimes I'll have a glass of water and I won't be hungry anymore. So I think it's important. I mean, you don't want to spend all day in the bathroom, but it's good for your kidneys too to be using the bathroom throughout the day.
All right, and the big question everybody probably ask you is: okay, I feel a little bit peckish. It's nighttime. I'm not going to be moving around much. What can I eat? What can I not eat? Should I stop myself from eating? Say it's like 8 o'clock at night. You go to bed at 9, and you just want something.
Yeah. So I think eating at night is basically the worst time to eat.
Yeah.
But if you absolutely have to, I would say try drinking some water first. Again, if you're doing this the way we're suggesting, you're probably not going to be that hungry.
Okay.
Or you can think about if maybe you want to stop eating, you know, a good 3 to 4 hours or more before you go to
bed.
That's a lot. So, you know, but if you're starting loading your calories early, then you won't. Be that hungry. But if you absolutely are, if you're famished and you have to eat something, then, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I would recommend, you know, some crunchy vegetables, or we like roasted chickpeas, something that has a lot of fiber and a lot of crunch. So it's satisfying and filling. And then, what I like to say is with this, because your circadian rhythm is set by the sun, every day you have a chance to start again and you know, get better. So if you eat at night and it's not the end of the world, just try again the next day.
Yeah, because see, people, I think, tend to get fat in the winter because they're not moving around as much, and yet it gets dark early, especially, you know, with in the East. So it's kind of a conundrum. And, I mean, I don't know if you're a psychologist or not. It may play into this, but very quickly, some people eat just to occupy themselves, especially when they're watching television, no matter what time of day it is. They can't idly just sit there.
Yeah, no, I think, well, you've raised a good point. So in the winter, it is we aren't moving around as much, and also the sun is setting earlier, so our metabolism is probably is changing, right? We're more into a storing mode in the winter, so it's better to eat even earlier in the winter, again, eating with the sun. One of the things about the psychology of eating the way we're recommending, by making your meals earlier, is you have to actually think about it a little bit. So we say to eat your dinner for breakfast, so I'll make dinner, and if I'm really hungry, I'll eat a little bit, and I'll save the rest for the next day. Especially, like, I love pasta. We're not anti-carbohydrates or anything, so I like to make pasta at night, and then I'll eat it the next day for breakfast or for lunch. And there's an extra benefit to that, because when pasta or potatoes, starchy things, cool, some of that starch, which is sugar, it turns into something called resistant starch, which is more like a fiber than like a sugar, so it actually is better for you.
All right.
So a little hack there.
That's
but,
cool.
When you're doing this, when you have to think about this a little bit more than you might be used to, you start planning a little bit, and then you realize, you know, then you maybe don't eat when you're not supposed to, because you've actually put a little bit of thought into it.
Well, I could talk to you for hours, because there's a lot here, but this is a book I definitely want to read. It's What to Eat When. Makes all the sense in the world, and it could actually change your whole life and your lifestyle. So, Dr. Krupin, thank you so much for your time today. Is there a website?
Yeah,
is there a website we can visit very quickly?
Yeah, our website is wenway.com.
Great. Thank you, doctor.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Really? With a brand new show. I hope you join me then, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.